Hey, Warheads. Welcome to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with my good friends, Daniel and Chris. Say hello, guys. Still not a good friend?
Well, see, good friends come over and help you move a couch or a house sit for you.
Yes.
Acquaintances come over and make fun of you on your own podcast. I feel that's where I'm at.
I'm sure that I've helped you move before.
No. I don't know.
Really?
All I know
check
is
with Jen. I feel like I have.
Well, you may have moved Jen, but not
I can neither
Daniel.
Confirm nor deny.
Hey, well, that counts.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, that counts.
All I know is I must be really good friends because I've moved you a couple times.
Yes, you have. That counts.
All right.
All right. So
Daniel's come up with all the questions today, too. So
looking forward to that. So
God
if they
help
stink,
us all.
Yeah, if they stink, make sure you write into Daniel at daniel@ireallydontcare.com.
All right. You know I have to go out and reserve that domain name now.
I'm sure it's taken. So now, hey, Chris.
Yes.
We kind of do a rivalry thing here on Trivial Warfare.
That's very true.
But we have a big matchup coming up tomorrow in a different form of competition.
Yes, we do, in fantasy football.
That's right. We're going head-to-head. My farting ducks against your
skunk apes. That's right. Yeah, last year my fantasy team was so bad, I decided that it was time to change the name completely of it. So I went from the San Marco Mayhem to the Jacksonville Skunk Apes.
And I also had to change names the year before last. So I've been doing a gag with our commissioner.
He's been doing something.
Where every year I would add a word to my team name. So I had gotten up to the hot honey. I was originally the Braywick Biscuits. I was originally the Hot Buttered Biscuits of Braywick. That's what I did with my name. And by the end of this gag, I was the Hot Honey Bustard Biscuits of Braywick with a side of marmalade and orange juice or something along those lines.
I forgot fresh also because it's hot and fresh.
Honey Buttered Biscuits of Braywick yeah. with a side, yes.
Anyway, it got to the point where our commissioner was getting so mad at him.
Well, no, what happened, the reason I changed it was I tried to make a on-the-fly transaction on my phone, and my name was so long that it was pushing the send button off of my screen on my phone, and I couldn't make the transaction because my name was too long.
Wow.
So I quit that and moved to the farting ducks instead. Chris, that's all well and good, and I am going to beat you. Actually, I think that the winner of this game today is probably predicted to win our matchup tomorrow.
Ooh.
So why don't you warm it up for us?
What up, Chris? I'm about to. What up, Chris? That's what I was born into.
I am a reformed fast food eater. I try my best not to eat that much fast food anymore as I'm continuing to drop the pounds and everything, but I love fast food. According to Food & Wine magazine, can you, Daniel, and can you, Jonathan, name the top 10 fast food restaurants in terms of number of stores?
That was in Food & Wine?
Food & Wine magazine, yes.
And it's worldwide?
Yes, that is correct.
I can get, I know I have at least number one or number two.
Okay, so we'll alternate back and forth. Jonathan, would you like to start?
Yeah, so this restaurant took over for McDonald's a while back, and now they're starting to cut back. It is Subway.
Subway is number one on the list. Over 33,000 stores worldwide.
They actually literally have started cutting back because you'd have a Subway and then go two blocks down and there'd be another Subway.
And I hear they're opening up a prison franchise.
Really?
No, that was a joke because, you know, Jared's going to prison for molesting children.
Well done, man. Well done.
These are the jokes, guys. Come on.
Daniel. What's
Mickey D's.
Mickey D's is number two on the list with over 32,000 stores. So, Jonathan, you're up next.
The number you just gave for Mickey D's, was it higher than for Subway?
No, nope. Subway was 33,000. Oh, Subway okay. Or McDonald's was 32,000.
Okay. I'm going to go with Wendy's.
Wendy's is number eight on the list with 6,600 stores.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Really? Only 6,600?
I know. It seemed like a lot more to me, too.
Oh, but, wow.
All right. So Daniel, you got a pick for me.
Let's see. Burger King.
Burger King is number six on the list with over 12,000 stores.
I'm going to say, do Hardee's and Carl's Jr.'s match each other? Are they the same thing for you?
They're owned by the same restaurant, or the same company.
So I'll say the Hardee's / Carl Jr.'s.
I'm sorry, Jonathan, you're the first one, not the main one on the list.
Oh, boo.
All right, Daniel.
I'm going to go with the drunk man's best friend, crystals.
Ah, crystals not on the list.
No.
Yeah. But
the other drunk man's best friend is, I'm going Taco Bell.
Taco Bell is number 9 on the list with 5,800 stores. Jonathan's back on the board. Daniel, can you name one? Or will you be the first one to name two?
Number 3 is out there.
I'm going to go with KFC.
KFC is number 4 on here with 16,200 stores. Huge in China, by the way.
Really?
Huge.
Oh, yes,
China.
You're right. I've heard that they did some things where, like, KFC is a traditional Chinese Christmas dinner now because Christmas is an Americanized thing, and they marketed it as if KFC was what we all do for Christmas when they went to China, and so that's how it happened, and now that is a traditional Chinese Christmas dinner. Well, I think I'm going to try Whataburger.
Whataburger not on the list. Jonathan,
what is number 3?
First of two. Okay. I will tell you this. Number 3, I did not think of it as a fast food restaurant.
Is it Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut is number 5 on the list with 13,300. So number 3, number 7, and number 10.
Trying to think of another sandwich place.
Again, I will say number 3, is, you'll have to think a little outside the box a bit, but you'll kind of slap yourself in the forehead.
Really?
Yep.
Panda Express.
Not on the list. Daniel.
I'm just going to throw Chick-fil-A out there.
Nope, Chick-fil-A not on the list.
Yeah, I didn't think it would
be. They have about 1,000 stores out there now.
In-N-Out Burger.
Not on the list. That's mostly a West Coast thing.
I think we're fading fast, Daniel.
All right.
Yes.
I'm going to give you guys one more chance.
Well, give us a hint.
One. I gave you a big hint. You got to think outside the box for number 3, but they are everywhere.
I already thought outside the bun.
But I'm
Wait.
Bummed.
Everywhere. Is it Jack in the Box?
It is not Jack in
the Box. No, I thought the box thing was a clue.
No.
Everywhere?
Everywhere. They love their pumpkin right now.
Starbucks?
Starbucks with 16,700 stores.
Agreed, that is not fast food.
Anyway.
And I also am surprised that they have that few stores. I feel like there's that many stores in Jacksonville.
Oh, what about Panera?
Panera not on the list.
Okay.
But may not also be considered fast food either, so.
If Starbucks counts.
All seriously. Right. Number 7, Dunkin' Donuts with 9,200.
Okay.
Number 10, Domino's with 4,400 stores.
Ah, we should have thought of Domino's.
All right. That's your warming up, Chris, question of the episode.
So we don't know as much as we thought we probably knew about fast food, do we?
I'm comfortable with that.
I was going to say, too. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Pondering what I'm pondering, Pinky?
I think so, Brian. But how are we going to play Pub Quiz with no friends and no pub?
Simple, you idiot. We can listen to Trivial Warfare.
Aw, is that the show? What's that? TrivialWarfare.com?
Yes, Pinky. Trivial Warfare is perfect for me. After all, it's not just trivia, it's war. No animals were harmed in the making of this commercial, unless you count my couch. And why would you do that? That would be weird.
All right. Well, Daniel, we turn it over to you. Let's get this show rolling. Let's start the trivia section.
Let's get this party started right.
Right?
Let's get this party started quickly.
He says as he stalls the show.
He's also raising the roof, but he's burning his hands because it's on fire.
My biscuits are burning.
Did you know Mel Blanc did Yosemite Sam?
No, I didn't.
Mel Blanc did quite a few of the voices.
We did a Mel Blanc question on a show I'm editing right now. Or we did a question where I answered Mel Blanc, and it was wrong. But I was looking at some of his voices, and I didn't know he did Yosemite Sam.
He's one of my favorites, him and Marvin the Martian.
Oh, okay.
That was
Kermit. That was very Kermit.
It really was. You are wearing green, too, so.
I didn't mean to do Kermit.
Oh, Kermit.
All right, Daniel, what do you got for us for the first question in the first round?
First question of the first round is politics.
Politics, okay.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
say it again. All right, so what retail item has accurately predicted the outcome of every presidential election since 1988 when Reagan beat Carter?
What retail item?
I'll
lock in an answer.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm in.
Man, I'm impressed because...
Don't be impressed until we find out if I'm right.
It's a fair point. Let's see. Okay, retail item. I mean, because you have so many little areas trying to do predictors. Like, you have the octopus that is correctly named every president since blah, blah, blah. And you have, like...
No, this is a measurable real-world statistic.
Okay. Man, what retail item? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I mean, nothing, literally nothing is coming to my head. So I'm going to turn it over. I'm going to call Uncle and turn it over to Jonathan for his answer.
I said the Magic 8 Ball.
Seriously?
That's what I said.
Okay. No. Halloween masks.
Oh, my gosh.
The highest-selling presidential candidate mask since 1988 has been the winner. And I've heard, I was not able to confirm this, but I have heard it said that some retailers will even refuse to publish their sales figures for those masks before the
election.
Really? Yes.
Interesting.
I had never thought of that. I thought literally you were saying there was a product where some national news show was asking, will Barack Obama win this election? Sources say cloudy. Roll it again or try again later. I thought that's what you meant.
Oh, no. If I was unclear about that, I'm sorry. It was no. Sales figures.
I mean, the question was fine.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Our normal start?
Exactly. Let's continue.
All right. This is a history question.
Okay.
All right. As you guys know, Elizabeth II recently became the longest reigning monarch in the history of the UK.
That's right.
Okay. So what I want to know is, in what century did Elizabeth I begin her reign? I will say that Elizabeth I and II, not necessarily consecutive.
Right. Yeah.
We both gathered that.
Okay, Jonathan, talk it through. I wrote it in.
You wrote one down. Okay.
I did, as a matter of fact. Probably wrong, but hey.
So we know that Elizabeth II took the title of the longest from Victoria. And
we actually talked about that in episode 12. I just was listening to that episode, as a matter of fact.
And it was a future event when we talked about
yes,
it.
Yes,
it
was.
That hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, you actually even called the date exactly right on it, too.
So I think actually that Victoria, for some reason, I feel like Elizabeth I was right after Victoria. And Victoria, I believe, was in the 1700s. So I'm going to say the 18th century.
Okay, that's exactly the same answer I did, was the 18th.
It's close, but no cigar. It's the 16th century.
Oh, wow.
She ruled from September 7th, 1533, until her death, March 24th of 1603.
Yeah, that was...
Wow, that's a long reign.
That was not close at all, actually. That was like 200 years separation.
Well, that had to be the longest reign before Victoria.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That was a 70-year reign.
Couldn't tell you.
I'm wondering why they don't just name all of their girls Elizabeth so they can all live long and prosper.
Okay, so last question of round one is a comics question.
Excellent.
Because, you know, it's me.
Fair enough.
Touche, Whitey. Touche.
Touche or not touche, that is the question.
Patrick Eel O'Brien is the alter ego of what DC Comics superhero?
Patrick Eel O'Brien. I'm going to lock in an answer.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in, brother.
Okay.
What do you got?
No. I'm talking.
Oh, you're talking at
yeah,
three?
Wait,
you don't know this one off the bat?
Hey, and you're not allowed to help.
I don't know.
I guess he's
shocked, but I don't know every DC. I mean, Marvel I'm pretty good at, but every DC, I'm really, DC's never been my strength. It never has been, never will be. To me, they're the coloring books. Anyway, I'm wondering if there's a clue in there with the eel part of it. Because, I mean, of course, Aquaman. But, I mean, I don't think Aquaman's it. I really don't. So that's what's frustrating me tremendously. Patrick Eel O'Brien. I mean, I was waiting for him to say as an alter ego of Conan O'Brien, for goodness sakes. But I'm going to say Aquaman because I just don't have a better answer.
Aquaman's an Irishman, is he?
I don't think so.
So at first I was thinking, okay, Patrick O'Brien, it's going to be an Irish guy. And I thought about Irish people, but that did nothing help me there. And then I thought eel, and that's where I got my answer from. Because it's somebody, that sounds like a criminal name. So it must be somebody who was a criminal before they were a superhero.
Ah.
Yes.
And that's what led me to Plastic Man.
That is correct.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, Jonathan can attest to this. I hate Plastic Man.
You what? Do, which doesn't I make any sense to me.
Plastic Man. I don't like dumb comic book heroes.
Did you read Grant Morrison? Or
Grant Morrison wrote Plastic Man?
No, no,
what?
No. There's two. Kyle Baker wrote a phenomenal Plastic Man miniseries.
Okay.
And then, was it Grant Morrison that did the Justice League?
Well, the JLA.
The JLA?
Yeah, he did JLA.
Did you read that?
Those books? Did, but I hated them. I was not a fan of those at all. I thought you.
I liked them.
Oh, did you? Because I didn't think you. I thought it was one of the two of you that didn't like that series at all.
I liked them because they were 4 and 5 episode miniseries shorts of JLA story. So it was basically major story, major story, major story. There was no filler.
Well, I was not a fan of the artwork. I thought the artwork was terrible in it, and it just the stories did not get me caught up at all in it.
Mm.
So
that was the run that had Prometheus, right? The first.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked those. So after round one, it is 10-0. Jonathan is in the lead. Looks like it's going to be a tight, low-scoring game today.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Let's see if I can take it a little easier on you guys. With a sports question, starting off round two.
Sports.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You all right, Jonathan?
I had something in my throat.
Okay. The first World Cup of Soccer game was held in 1930 in what country?
Yeah, not any easier. Man.
I'll give you a hint.
I'm not saying it's a bad question, by the way.
It was not the U.S.
All right.
I figured that.
That leaves about 238 other countries.
Nor was it Russia or China.
235.
He did get rid of a lot of landmass, though.
He really did, actually. That was well done. All right. I'm going to write in an answer, and I'll let you talk it out, Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Could you give the date again?
1930.
30. I'm leaning in a couple of different directions. So one direction would be Europe. The other direction would be Brazil. Brazil is appealing. I know it's considered it's always been a hotbed of soccer stars. But I remember seeing a thing on Pele once where there was a... No, actually. So I saw a thing on Pele once, and it was talking about why Brazil was so great at churning out soccer stars. And it was a training regimen that they were going through. It was literally there's a game down there that they play that is a smaller ball that requires a lot more agility, and it's similar to soccer. And all the kids play it, and it makes them work. And it's done in gymnasiums. So imagine a soccer game with a smaller ball in a gymnasium. And they get really good at intricate footwork and at moving the ball in tight spaces so that when they get out on the soccer field, it feels like they could do anything because there's so much room to work with. The reason I told that story is I'm trying to remember if there was a guy who went down there and taught them that game. And if there was, it would have been in the 40s or 50s, and that would mean it probably wasn't Brazil.
Which makes it irrelevant.
Yes, but great story.
But that's also how he eliminated Brazil from his thought process, which I get what you're saying.
But then I go over to Europe, and the first country I think of is Germany, because Germany has a reputation for being a fantastic soccer place, very precise people.
And loving David Hasselhoff.
Yes, and absolutely loving David Hasselhoff. But in 1930, they would have been 10 years out of World War I, and this would have been a really revolutionary time period for them. They were dealing with a lot of political stuff, I guess. I can't imagine that it's Germany. So I'm going to say France.
Okay. Now, France and Spain were bopping around in my head. But the answer I ended up doing was England. And the reason for it was just strict money-based wise. I mean, financially, they had the resources to be able to have teams from around the world come in, and also just big enough cities to be able to do that. So, and also really no rhyme or reason.
That was such a stupid answer of France too, because there was no way it would be France. France had just gone through World War I and had their entire country run over. I feel stupid.
Okay. Well, let's find out if you feel stupid. Daniel, the answer is?
It's Uruguay.
Wow.
Well, there we go, folks. Not any logic in the world is going to help me get there.
Yeah.
You're killing us, Daniel.
You know, some of the questions I've heard you guys answer, I just can't believe you pulled off these answers. But why is it that my questions...
I don't know.
It's because It's Uruguay.
No, but it's the World Cup.
It's not my away. It's Uruguay. Okay, that was bad. Cut that out.
No, that's staying in.
Don't cry, Chris. It's all right. I'll get him back for you.
He already did. I'm going to win this game 10-0. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, man.
All right. The second question of round two is an art and literature.
All right. Okay. Art and literature.
Okay.
What are the two cities referred to in the title, The Tale of Two Cities, by Charles Dickens?
All right. I'm locked in.
Okay. Dickens being British, I want to say that London was the first tale. And then the second one is the one that's throwing me off a little bit, because I want to say it's Paris, just because that kind of seems to make sense, but it doesn't make sense all at the same time, because if this is a Daniel question, it's got to be a harder city than that. It just has to be. But you know what? There's been plenty of times, and this is something that you've tried to teach me in pub trivia. It's just sometimes you just got to go with your gut. And so I'm going to go with Paris and London, final answer.
I wrote down Paris and London.
Oh, nice.
Because it's correct.
Guys, you're killing me. The correct answer is Paris and London.
Nice! So this is what points feels like.
Yes, I already... as much as you were trying to make me feel wrong, I was writing down the score anyway.
Well, that was mostly for Christopher, because he was giving himself such a hard time about it.
I was just like, really? Jonathan just really sounded sure of himself.
Very sure.
Like, oh, Daniel's pulling one of those things. I got it.
Mwahaha.
Yes.
Final question of round two is a geography question. Kathmandu is the capital of what country?
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. Who sung that?
I don't know, but the way you made it sound like Bob Seger.
It was Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Apparently, I do a mean Bob Seger.
I guess so. That was well done. You're writing it down?
I am writing down my answer.
Okay.
Actually, let me think just one more second.
Okay. Okay, your second's done.
Okay.
And then the other second's done.
How about we just give him a minute?
Time's up.
No, he's written it down. All right. I know where Kathmandu's at, just country-wise. I mean, it stinks. I've really been studying geography questions.
Really?
Or geography lately, because I've noticed that I miss a lot of geography questions. And the interesting thing is I've never really felt the need to study it, because when we're doing pub trivia, it's like Jonathan has that strength, so I'll focus on other things. But now that we're doing the show on a really regular basis now, I need to pony up my game a little bit more in the geography portion of it. Just unfortunately, Kathmandu has not come into the equation yet, as I've been reading books and such.
What's funny is
dusting off tomes.
I don't consider geography a strength for me. I just consider it like average. It's like it's not great.
That's
I wish I knew more.
But you're able to pull off stuff that I wouldn't have thought of, like the peninsula,
Iberian
peninsula. I swear to you. They never talked about that in Orange Park High School.
They didn't talk about it where I grew up either.
Yeah. So anyway, but back to Kathmandu. I mean, the Himalayas are around there. I don't know the answer. It's not coming to me at all. So
just Jonathan, throw out a guess.
Yeah, throw out a guess.
I really don't know.
Okay.
Uncle.
So for me, it came down to one of two countries. It is in the Himalayas. It is in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
It's either Tibet or Nepal. And I went with
Nepal. Yeah.
Nepal is the correct answer.
Yeah. As soon as you said Nepal, I was like, yep, that's it.
When you were talking, you said Himalayas, and I thought you were going to at least like go with China. If you look, it's really, I get surprised sometimes when I do look at the map to kind of just study a little bit. And there are places in the world where you don't think things are, but they really are, right? So the Himalayas is on the western side of China, and it hits right there. That's where Nepal and Tibet and all of those border. It's the same place. It's right there in the Himalayas. There's another one like that where India fits in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. I always look, I'm like, what's India doing there? But lo and behold, that's always where it is.
And also that India and Pakistan are right next to each other. I mean, that just always seems weird to me, but they are. All right, so is that the last question in the second round?
It is.
Okay,
it is.
So Jonathan, score update.
Jonathan has 30, Chris has 10.
Okay.
Much better than the end of the first round, I would say. You have infinitely more points now than you did at the end of the first round.
That's true. That's very, very true.
The category for round three, question one, is history.
Okay.
Taking office in April of 1721, who was the first Prime Minister of Great Britain?
1721?
Yeah, see,
I don't know any British people from the early 1700s.
Because, see, I thought the monarchy lasted a good bit longer than that.
The monarchy did.
Well, I mean, as far as, as far as being the ruling body.
They still were. George III was the crazy king in charge during the Revolution. Yeah. So the Prime Minister wasn't necessarily then what he is now.
I see.
1720. Okay, so are you sticking with the answer you wrote down?
Yeah, because I just don't have a better answer. There's bleeding out the nose on this question.
I wonder if it could be due to a break in the monarchy when I think about Oliver Cromwell. But I'm pretty sure that he was not the Prime Minister, that he was the Lord Protectorate. Actually, that does call to mind another person, though. I get these two guys mixed up. Thomas A. Becket and Thomas More. Those two people I get mixed up all the time. Thomas Aquinas as well. Another person to throw in the Thomases that I don't know. But I believe it was Sir Thomas More that ended up in the Tower of London for whatever treason it was. And I thought that he was a prime minister before that happened. Could be way off, but I'm going to go with Thomas More.
Okay. I'm going with, because they had to name the palace after somebody, Buckingham.
Buckingham.
Unfortunately, the answer is neither of those. It is Sir Robert Walpole.
Never heard of him.
Yep.
Walpole. You said his name was Walpole?
Robert Walpole. W-A-L-P-O-L-E.
Walpole. Learn something new every day.
Yes. I'm looking for Band-Aids right now for my bruised ego. Oh, there's one.
Where do you put a Band-Aid to help your bruised ego?
Right on the top.
Top of your head?
No, just top of the ego.
How about we get you an ice pack instead?
All right, thank you.
Round three, question two.
All right, round three, question two is a sports question.
Okay.
All right.
What two teams played the first Super Bowl in 1967?
Was it in 1967?
Yes.
I thought it was in the early 60s. Okay.
Yeah, I'm locked in.
100% sure?
Nope.
So, everybody knows the Green Bay Packers won the first two Super Bowls. So, it has to be the Green Bay Packers. And the big question is, who did they play from that upstart AFL? I tend to think it was the Chiefs, because I think that was the game that they videotaped and caught Hank Stram trying to show off for the cameras by saying they needed to matriculate the ball down the field. So I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. See, it was one of two answers. I mean, well, Green Bay Packers is absolutely correct. It was one of two that I was kind of going back and forth on. One of them was the Kansas City Chiefs, and the other one was the Baltimore Colts.
And yeah, that would be the other Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, and so because you're looking at your. Thank you for not looking at your wall, by the way. That's very sweet of you.
I knew it was there, but I didn't look at all.
Okay, no, I know you didn't because you were looking at the carpet. So that was very sweet of you to do that. Because
you're not allowed to look at it. By the way,
no, well, I can't see over that far anyway. Dude.
Still, stop looking.
Okay. Anyway, no. I have my answer written down anyway, and the answer I chose was the Packers and the Chiefs.
I can tell you now, based on looking at my wall hanging, right, that the Green Bay Packers scored 35 points.
Okay.
Kansas City Chiefs scored 10.
Yes. I'll take those 10 points.
Daniel, do you agree?
I do. And yay! Thanks for stealing my bonus question.
You're kidding, right?
Nope.
The score was a bonus question?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Way to go, knucklehead.
What is that from?
I don't know. Just
knuckahead?
Yeah.
Okay. first question of round three is a science and nature question.
Science!
Nature.
What is the term for a baby swan? There are two correct answers. I'll take either one.
Okay, I'm writing mine in.
Wow.
Okay.
Think about the story of the ugly duckling, and that was a duckling, so it doesn't help. But he was trying to be a swan. And then I think about geese, ganders, gooses, and that doesn't help at all. Swan. Stop looking at me, swan.
How many times has Billy Madison made it into these shows?
You knew, you had to know that was coming, right? Yes.
That's right, Victor Penguin.
It wasn't funny in the movie. It's funny after the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And during the movie, it's like, how much acid was Adam Sandler on making this thing?
Seriously. You said a young swan, a baby swan?
A baby swan.
A baby swan. I think that a baby goose is called a gosling. Maybe a baby swan is called a swazzling.
Swaddle it.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Oh, I don't want a snozzberry if it tastes like a swan.
I don't know if I've ever heard the word for a baby swan, so I'm going to say a chick.
Okay. I said duckling because I really think it is a duckling. So
in the story, The Ugly Duckling, the duckling I thought was a duck, but I guess I could be wrong.
All right. Daniel?
The two proper terms for a baby swan is either a cygnet.
Cygnet! I have heard that
before. C-Y-G-N-E-T.
Yes!
Or a swanling.
Oh.
Really?
Okay.
Swanling. A swanling?
You were actually really close.
I know I was. But I've heard of a cygnet before. That was in my punch bowl.
Because Jonathan loves names of animals.
You're right. I like taxonomy.
Yeah, you've mentioned that on a few occasions on this show.
But yet, the two times that I've asked baby animal names, he's missed them.
I can't argue that.
So,
but
what's
to be frank, I've missed most of your questions.
What's the name of a baby human?
An ankle biter.
Frank Sebastian a while back?
Mm.
All right.
Wow, going into halftime.
Going into halftime. I've doubled you up.
Yeah.
It's 40 to 20.
Okay.
Baseball scores.
All I know is I feel like Daniel's kicked me in both testicles now.
Repeatedly?
Well, they're pretty bruised.
Hmm.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
I noticed.
All right, so what's your halftime question, man?
All right, midpoint question is, and I've got something to give each of you.
Oh,
for your midpoint question, I've given you a list of five movies and five works of classic literature. Okay? The movies are 10 Things I Hate About You, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Roxanne, The Lion King, and Cruel Intentions.
She didn't have to put on the red light.
Now, the works of literature are Cyrano de Bergerac, Dangerous Liaisons, Hamlet, The Odyssey, and Taming of the Shrew.
Yes.
What you have to do is match up which movie was based on which work of literature.
Nice.
Sweet.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So while you guys are matching up, I'm going to read that list again. The movies are 10 Things I Hate About You, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Roxanne, The Lion King, and Cruel Intentions. The books are Cyrano de Bergerac, Dangerous Liaisons, Hamlet, The Odyssey, and The Taming of the Shrew.
I've locked it in.
Okay, in that case, I'll just go and talk.
Yep.
10 Things I Hate About You is Taming of the Shrew. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is The Odyssey. Roxanne is Cyrano de Bergerac. Lion King would be Hamlet, and then finally, Cruel Intentions is Dangerous Liaisons.
That's exactly what I had.
And you're both correct, 100%.
Nice.
100% correct. Now, the only one I had questions about, because I've heard, I knew that about the first three, Lion King and Cruel Intentions, it made more sense for Lion King to be Hamlet versus Dangerous Liaisons and Cruel Intentions. But I did not know that Lion King was based on Hamlet. Is it basically the same story?
Yep.
It really is.
Young prince, his father is murdered by his brother. The brother becomes king. The young prince comes back and reclaims the kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah, it's based on Hamlet.
Never even thought of it. How about that?
That's a pretty cool question.
I liked that.
Yeah, very nice.
After the midpoint, Jonathan has 60, Chris has 40.
Okay, let's see what the second round has in store for us.
Pain.
Lots and lots of pain.
Yeah.
Then bring on the pain.
House of Pain.
Just remember, you asked for it.
Jump up, and get down.
It's already barotted.
Jump.
And in that spirit...
What is that, the jazz version of jump up, jump around? jump up and get down.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Jump. I say again, jump. I say again, jump. Yeah. What the heck was that? Anyway.
Fourth round, first question. Category is history.
History.
Okay.
Which Roman emperor was the first to convert to Christianity?
Ooh.
Good question. I like that one. Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay. I know Nero persecuted the Christians.
And did he shoot a man in Nero just to watch him die?
That was so bad.
That was Reno.
Stop it!
And now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head.
Thank you. Excellent.
Nero was in the 60s.
It's fun to watch Jonathan sweat. I don't know if I have the right answer or not, but I'm really enjoying this.
Let's throw things at him until he gets an answer.
It wasn't long after...
Get to Cantomatoes.
After Nero. There was a lot of persecution, and then it felt like 10, 15, 30 years later, it felt like things had changed for the Christians, and they started to catch on and take off because this happened.
So you're saying you were there?
Well, weren't you?
No. Oh. I was in Asia at the time.
Mm. I'm betting whoever it is has been sainted. Can't think of the right answer. I'm going to say Marcus Aurelius.
Okay. My answer was Constantine.
The correct answer is Constantine.
Yes.
After whom the city of Constantinople was named.
What year did it happen?
It was in the 300s. I believe it was like 313, 323, right around there, because the Council of Nicaea was 333.
I really messed that up. That ordered that. I was thinking about Constantine, but I felt like it had happened sooner than him, which is why I asked about the year. Really good job.
Dr. Johnson at Flagler College, thank you very much. I equate that answer to you, sir.
You basically got a Bible question right all
of
a sudden.
Yeah, I kind
of
did. I know.
So, all right, Constantine the First, or Constantine the Great, was born in February of 272 AD.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And died May of 337 AD.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. I thought that was too late. My bad.
Oh, good. I need to do something to catch up to you a little bit, make it somewhat of a contest for you, man.
Oh, it's still a very...
I don't want to bore you or anything.
It's still a wide-open show.
Second question of round four, which is another science and nature.
Science!
Nature!
What living bird species, meaning not extinct...
Yes.
...has the longest wingspan from tip to tip?
Pterodactyl. Oh, crud, I just said it out loud.
R-O-C.
Okay, I got an idea. I'm writing in an answer. We'll see how it goes. Jonathan, you can talk about all you want. Locked in.
So at first you think about what are the big birds? And ostrich.
I forgot to mention big bird.
Yeah.
Darn it, I should have wrote that.
Ostrich comes to mind, but ostriches actually, their wings aren't very useful. And they're not as long as you would imagine.
Although their eggs are delicious.
Kind of fluffy.
It's so fluffy! I've never tried an ostrich egg before.
Boy, they're gigantic. Yeah, I was about to say, you better share it with somebody.
Is it kind of like the eggs in the Flintstones?
Yeah. I think they're about the same size as a football.
Then wow. I think about the American, the bald eagle, actually. And I know their wingspan can be 6 to 7 feet long. 6 to 7 feet long. And... I've always been marveled by that because I'm 6'4", 6'5"-ish. And that means if you spread this bird's wings out from tip to tip, it's longer than I am tall in some cases. And I've always just thought that was a huge wingspan. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about seabirds.
You decided to go with the pterodactyl.
Yeah. I'm thinking about seabirds, and I'm thinking about the albatross. They can go out long distances away from land because their wings are there's something about their wings that let them go that far out. I think that's where I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go with the albatross.
Okay. Have you ever seen an albatross before, by the way?
I don't believe so.
I haven't either. That's why I was asking. Daniel?
You can see one on the show notes at trivialwarfare.com.
I saw a picture of one when I was researching this question.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I actually thought I knew the answer, but it turns out I did not.
Okay. Well, the answer, and that kind of just blows the Jonathan's
mind. What did you write down?
I wrote condor.
Oh, okay. What's the answer?
The correct answer is the wandering albatross. It has a wingspan of up to 12 feet.
Yeah, boy!
Okay. Good job, man.
Now, the condor does have the largest area wingspan. So, you know, the square footage of the wings is the largest.
They're wider. Okay. The albatross has skinny wings.
But they're longer.
Condors, their wingspan in length is only 10 feet.
Only.
But they do have the largest wing area.
How big do you think 12 feet is?
That's two of me.
I was just thinking, is it as wide as this room?
This is probably a 6-foot couch, so put two of the couches together.
Let's get an albatross and find out.
Let's do this. We'll be back, folks.
Okay.
Okay, we're back.
Wow, that was big.
It was massive.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, did I come unzipped?
Oh, that was well played.
All right. So,
give yourself 10 points on that one, man.
I did.
That was, you know, it's one of those questions where I don't feel bad about missing it because I was on the right path. It wasn't like I just threw
something. You put a Big Bird out there.
Yeah. Did you know there's a documentary called I Am Big Bird, and it's all about the person that's played Big Bird for the last 30 years? And
no.
It's like the voice or the actor in the suit?
No, the actor in the suit.
I've
one
seen
of the
a
great
picture.
Unsung heroes.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a picture of him with his top off.
Whoa.
But his bird legs on.
Whoa.
And it's pretty funny looking.
I bet it's freaky looking.
It's funny looking.
Is it one of those that's held up by suspenders, so he's got these giant wide pants?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so last question of the round.
All right, last question of round three is an entertainment question.
Chris is like, finally.
What is the best-selling music album of all time?
In what space? Worldwide? U.S.?
Ever? Everywhere.
Galactic?
Yes.
Intergalactic. Planetary, intergalactic.
I will tell you that it was recorded in the last century, so you don't have to. You don't have to go into like pressings of Beethoven's the Fifth or anything like that.
So helpful. I'm locked in, brother.
Okay, because there's a couple of them that come to my head. How confident are you?
I'm pretty confident. I feel like I could name the top two, actually.
Mm. Okay. See, because... So ask the question one more time, please, because I want to make sure that I'm understanding it clearly, because that's one of the things I've had trouble with in the
past.
Good
call. I am worried that something recent might have overtaken.
Well, you said it was last century.
Well, then I feel really good.
Okay.
Well, what you have to keep in mind is most songs to... I mean, the album release has kind of come the way of the dodo.
Yeah, but Taylor Swift has done some crazy stuff where she's outselling. She's doing records. She's breaking people's records lately.
Is she?
Yes. All right. I didn't think that was possible.
Well, I think that the source that I used for this question was as of last year.
Hmm.
So
I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift hasn't broken this record.
Okay. So the question again is, what is the best-selling music album of all time?
Okay. Oh, crap. I'm so glad I had you re-ask that.
What did you think?
He said, I heard musical. And so I was like, well, crud.
Smart move, Chris.
Anyway, so the answer is Thriller by Michael Jackson. Because it sold like 18 billion copies.
I wrote down Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So close. The correct answer is
Thriller by Michael Jackson. Number two, I believe, is still Eagles' Greatest Hits.
Yes, it is, which is so bizarre. Actually, I think it's Greatest Hits Volume 2, actually.
No. Volume 1. Much better album.
We've actually had this conversation. I really believe it's Volume 2. We've had this conversation.
I will
before.
Stake my cat on it.
Ooh.
Okay.
I don't want your cat.
No, it's too late.
The gauntlet's been thrown down.
If you have to have Patty. If you are right, you have to take Patty.
Yeah, you notice he didn't say which
There's
cat.
A crate right there for you to take.
Nice.
But just to let you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller, released in 1982, has sold 110 million copies.
Yeah. And to put that in perspective, I think Garth Brooks has sold like 110 million copies total.
Wow.
It's just, it's that kind of crazy number. And he's the best-selling recording artist, country artist of all time.
I think the Eagles number is like 60 million. Hmm.
That, and that's crazy too, because that's 50 million off. It's not even close.
Yeah.
That's, check the show notes.
Well, I can do this. No, we have a bet.
We don't have a bet.
Yes, we do. You have to take my cat if you're right.
I'm not taking your cat. One, I don't bet. Two, I don't bet. Three, I don't take cats.
Yeah, you have dogs now. They'd probably not last the night.
Oh, Patty can hold her own.
Yeah, right. Hiding underneath a bed. This is the same cat.
Yeah, but when she gets cornered, she is vicious.
Nobody puts Patty in a corner?
Nobody puts Patty in a corner. So after the fourth round, it is 80-60. Scores are climbing up into acceptable ranges, Mr. Hollister.
It's starting to get there for sure, but I'm still 20 behind, and I know you.
Well, you're used to that.
Mr. Bet Zero.
Only champions bet zero.
First question of round five?
Five.
Yeah, five.
Good counting there.
It's a geography question.
Okay.
Time to redeem yourself, Christopher.
Yeah, right.
From base to tip, or base to summit, what is the tallest mountain in the world?
Oh, good. Not a numbers question. From base to tip, the tippity tip tip.
Tip.
Did somebody put a tape measure to measure this?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was a big tape measure.
Yes. I imagine it was.
See, logic tells me it has to be.
You want to go 3-2-1?
Yeah.
At least we'll be wrong together if we're wrong.
Kathmandu. No. Yeah. 3-2-1. Everest.
That's wrong.
Really?
Is it K2? Wrong.
Nope.
Okay.
See, Everest is the tallest above, is the highest point above sea level.
Oh, this is going to be some island that's a mountain island that sticks from the bottom of the Pacific all the way up into the sky.
Too bad that you didn't give that for your answer, because you would have been halfway there. It's Mauna Kea, one of the Hawaiian islands.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
From base to the summit, it is 33,480 feet tall. With most of that being
truthfully,
underwater.
I got to be honest, don't actually consider it a mountain.
Why? Because it's a volcano?
Me personally.
Well, science considers it a mountain.
I'm good. I'm not arguing about it. Because it's underwater.
Oh, okay.
I think of mountains as being above water. The mountainous part would be from sea level to the tip for me.
And let's see, that has Everest beat by quite a bit because Everest is 29,000.
Oh, yeah? Well, did you count the parts of Everest that are below sea level?
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
It's underground. No, sure, it's underground.
Well, technically,
sea level,
so is every...
That's my point. That's why I don't consider the sea level, if you're saying I'm reaching. That's why I don't consider the sea level argument valid. Because if you use the baseline of where sea level, the bottom of the ocean floor, and use that as the starting point for all topography, then Everest is still the tallest.
No, it's where it comes up from the Earth's crust.
Yes, and where does the Earth's crust start? It does not start in different places for all parts of the world. You have to have a consistent starting point.
It does. But that's why we use sea level as the measuring standard, because water seeks its own level.
Therefore, so Everest level is the correct answer.
Did you know that there's a mountain on, I think, either Mars or Mercury that is so tall that it breaches the atmosphere?
I think it's Mars. Stop. Mons Venus?
Oh, I have no idea.
Venus Mons. Olympus,
no,
Olympus Mons. That's the name of it. Well, now I got to look. Olympus Mons is a very large shield volcano on the planet Mars. It has a height of nearly 25 kilometers, three times as tall as Mount Everest's height above sea level. I think that's the one you're talking about. It looks like a giant zit on the picture on Wikipedia.
If it's a volcano, then that's very appropriate. So the second question of round five is an entertainment question.
Okay.
Boo.
Now,
boom.
Jonathan, I believe, earlier today brought up David Hasselhoff.
Actually, we both did.
It's Chris and his Germans.
That's right.
All right. So, in that spirit, the television show Knight Rider, starring David Hasselhoff, had a talking car named Kit.
Darn.
As his co-star.
I was really hoping you were going to ask us what the name of the car was.
No, I'm going to ask you what KIT stood for.
Okay, locked in.
And that's K-I-T-T.
Yeah, I know. I think the I is intelligence. I can't think for the life of me what the K could be. I assume it's an acronym. For some reason, the words 10,000 come to my head, like it could be intelligence, something intelligence 10,000. Well, the word compressor in German starts with a K. I'll say compressor intelligence 10,000.
Okay, you're really kind of close, as a matter of fact. It's Knight Industries 2000.
2000?
Yes.
Ah, Knight. Knight. And Knight starts with K.
Because Michael Knight worked for Knight Industries.
Hence the name.
Hence the name.
Knight Rider. Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah,
well done.
Man, I haven't had that said about me in a while. And do you remember what Kit's evil brother, either evil brother's name was?
And was it Cat? No. You stepped on my bonus question again.
Well, not yet. He hasn't.
I was waiting for you to say something. You didn't say any bonus question.
My bonus question for 1 point is what was Kit's evil counterpart's name?
I'm glad I said Cat and you said no, because that's what I would go with.
All right, no, I think then they would have been sued by a certain candy bar corporation.
Okay. I wrote it down.
I'm going to say MIT. Mitchell or something.
Industry.
Intelligence 2000. I'm going to say MIT.
Well, here's the funny part. It was CAR, but I don't know what CAR stood for.
I don't either. It was K-A-R-R. It was CAR.
Yeah, CAR. Yeah. Kitten CAR. It was Knight. Who knows what the heck it was. So I will take my 1 point and be done with it.
Stupid David Hasselhoff.
Last question of round 5 is art and literature.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
In 1987, John Malkovich starred in a film adaptation of what Tennessee Williams play?
1987?
1987. That was when the film came out.
Oh, wow.
The film adaptation.
Okay.
Of a Tennessee Williams play. Interesting side note. I played that character in a high school play.
Drunken Bum number 2?
More or less.
I've written my answer down.
Okay, thank you. Really, the only two Tennessee Williams plays that I'm thinking of are Streetcar Named Desire and then the one that just left my brain. And Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Okay, thank God it returned to me. I mean, I can't really remember any other ones. I mean, I was thinking Sunset Boulevard, one of them, and I don't think so. And I could kind of see him doing that Brando-esque, but I don't remember them remaking anything that Brando was in. I really don't. I'm going to say Streetcar Named Desire, but I'm not confident at all.
So, you know, I don't know anything about movies, but I know there were 3 plays by Tennessee Williams that were big hits. And there was a clue from Daniel that he was in a high school play based on one of them, so the 3 that I know that they do in high school are Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Streetcar Named Desire, and The Glass Menagerie. And I wrote down
The Glass Menagerie.
The Glass Menagerie. Because
right.
I didn't feel like I heard of a movie of the other two during that time period.
I think you're 100% right, man.
He is indeed 100% correct.
Nice job.
Yeah. Wow.
Karen Allen and Joanne Woodward were his co-stars, and that movie was actually directed by Paul Newman.
No kidding. But what's funny also is he mentioned that Karen Allen was in it, and Karen Allen was actually one of our very famous arguments.
Animal House.
Animal House, that's right.
As he said it, that came to mind.
Yeah. I listened to that episode just the other day and was like, man, I was a moron. So, man, I catch up and then I get back behind. I catch up and get back behind. Man.
You were pretty caught up, too. After the 5th round, it is 90 for Jonathan to 71 for Chris.
So, the first question of round 6 is a sports question.
Sports!
What player did the Jacksonville Jaguars cut in 1996 who went on to win a Super Bowl for the Green Bay Packers?
Daggum. I know, man. It's like, you figure we should be able to get a Jaguar question right, shouldn't we?
Or at least kind of my thinking.
Or at least an NFL question, but man, this is another kick in the groin.
96 was so long ago, you know?
Because on the reverse side of it,
we got plenty of players from the Packers.
Yeah, because Mark Brunell came from the Packers. And also, I'm just struggling because I have today's players in my head, and so that's what I'm thinking about. Unless you're like a Hall of Famer, I really have kind of erased you from existence.
I'm going to I'm going to write down an answer.
Wow. You look constipated.
I know, I know.
That's anyway. He's like,
After that question, we're going to need to get Jonathan a change of pants.
Well, it's a good thing he's wearing the gray ones.
All right, I'm locked in.
You know what? I'm going to say Desmond Howard. And because Desmond Howard, I believe, was on the Jags and got dropped and then went on to do a kickoff return, and I think he got the MVP of the 97 Super Bowl for the Packers. So I'm going to say Desmond Howard.
I wrote down Desmond Howard.
Holy crud.
Because I know he was with the Jags for at least a half a year or maybe just a spring training or summer camp or whatever the word is. Summer camp. Training camp.
Summertime.
And I know he went to the Packers, and during the Super Bowls, one of them he had a big play in.
The very first play of the game in the Super Bowl, he ran it back for a touchdown.
Desmond Howard is the correct answer.
Yes! Go Jags!
Woo!
So for the second question of round six, we have an entertainment question. When Arnold Schwarzenegger refused to reprise the role of John Matrix for Commando 2, the script for that movie was then used to start what famous action movie franchise?
Really?
Never saw Commando 1. Was he Commando the whole movie?
Ba-dum-bum.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, he was John
Seems
Matrix.
Seems kind of risque. I don't know much about Commando. I wish I knew more about what it was about.
I'll be honest. I kind of liked it.
It's about a commando.
I remember Suburban Commando.
So, repeat the question one more
time. I am so sorry for you. All right, repeating the question. When Arnold Schwarzenegger refused to reprise the role of John Matrix for a Commando sequel, the script was used to launch what new action movie franchise?
Okay. I'm going to actually write an answer down. I don't know why, but kind of coming to my head right now. Okay.
I don't know when Commando was, right? At all. I feel like it's 80s, but when in the 80s? Because that would help me figure out what franchise started around that time. Commando, in and of itself, sounds like it might be some guy in the jungle shooting up bad guys. And when I think about some guy in the jungle shooting up bad guys, I think of Rambo. So I'm going to say it's the Rambo franchise.
Okay. So the interesting part is we talked about Alyssa Milano being in it, and it was pre-Who's the Boss Alyssa Milano. So
I didn't think about that.
So I believe it was 1982, 83 is right around the year. Maybe even early. I don't think it was earlier than that. So I'm going to say 82, 83. But I think Jonathan's 100% right. I think it's Rambo.
It's actually not.
Oh.
It went a little bit off because it wasn't actually some guy shooting up a jungle. He was on an island shooting up, I think, a drug dealer's compound.
Kidnapped his daughter.
Yeah, they kidnapped his daughter and he went on.
Oh, it was the first version of Taken.
Yeah, what's the answer?
The answer is Die Hard.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
The sequel to Commando, when Schwarzenegger dropped out, eventually became Die Hard, much to Bruce Willis's delight.
My goodness, yeah. Wow. To the tune of, what, six movies now?
Five, I think.
So you're saying that John Matrix became John McClane?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Ah, McClane.
Okay, now, last question of round six is science and nature.
Science!
Nature!
What brand name has become a generic term in the British dictionary meaning to clean with a vacuum cleaner?
I'm going to write down an answer. I think I know it.
Okay. I think I may know it too, as a matter of fact.
Locked in.
All right. I'm going to say Hoover.
I said Hoover.
You're both correct. The answer is Hoover.
Woo-hoo! Thanks, Brits.
All right. Well, we sort of finished sort of stronger, sort of.
We finished fine.
All right.
So before we get into our final question, which is a doozy, why don't you go ahead and give us the scores as they stand?
Yeah, because the other questions have not been a doozy.
Chris, you have 91. Well done, sir. Way to come back. I have 110.
Okay. So still 19 points behind you.
Yes.
But only 19.
That's true, but
a little bit.
This is a hard question. That's a lifetime away.
He'll bet zero and be done with it.
I'll be quit of you.
All right. So what's the category for the final round?
The final category is music.
My bet's in.
Yep. Jonathan is going to make me answer this correctly.
There's a chance.
All right. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you the names of four artists, and I want you to tell me what order they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
We had ironically, we had a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame question in the episode that's going to be released this week.
Really?
Oh, really? Which is a month and a half away from this episode airing.
Yes.
But it was who was number one. So don't ask who was the first British group to go in.
I won't.
Okay.
I promise.
How could it be under the sea? All right.
Everybody ready?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So from first to last, tell me what order these artists were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Aretha Franklin, Bob Dylan, James Brown, and the Rolling Stones.
For the record, this is a wonderful final. This is really good.
Yeah.
All right, I've got mine written down. I didn't have to think as hard as Chris, though.
Of course, Mr. Zero.
Exactly, Mr. Not Zero. You make me sound like a comic book villain, Mr. Zero.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Zero was the original name for the character Mr. Freeze in the Batman comics.
You might be right. There's a freeze coming.
Wow. You know, after we talked about that on the show, I went back and rewatched those movies.
Wow.
And they are worse than I remembered.
I posted a link to a YouTube channel that's called What's Wrong with Movies, and it gives you like 2 second snips of movies and points out this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. So that clip, that page for that one, for Batman and Robin, is 16 minutes long. And had more wrong with it than any other movie the guy has ever reviewed. He pointed that out. It was by far had the most problems that he ever reviewed.
I'm locked in.
All right. Chris says he's ready to go. I am ready to go. Okay. Chris, you're behind, so you go first.
Okay. The interesting part about this question is all of them started around the same time. I mean, really?
So?
Yeah, in the early 60s. Like 60, 61. I think the Rolling Stones' first album was like 63. Dylan, I know, was right around 63 as well. And then, of course, the Motown sound was around that 62 to 65 range, if not even a little bit later than that. My answer, and I'm not at all confident or comfortable with this at all, first is Bob Dylan, second is the Rolling Stones, third Aretha Franklin, and fourth James Brown.
Okay. I said, I remember from that earlier episode where we talked about Aretha, the question was, who was the first woman inducted? And
That's right. So
Aretha was the answer. So I know that she's early, but I don't know how early. I believe the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame opened in the early 80s or mid 80s.
Right, but I think the Hall of Fame was still before then. It's just they didn't actually have a physical building until then. But
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I believe it was created at that time. And so these are people whose careers were all fully intact by the time that it came around. I didn't want to put Aretha in the first class, but I thought she was really early. So I said Bob Dylan first, Aretha second, Rolling Stones third, and James Brown fourth.
Here is the correct order. James Brown was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986. Aretha Franklin was inducted in 1987. Bob Dylan in 1988. And the Rolling Stones in 1989.
Jeez. It started in 85, 86.
Wow.
The Hall of Fame was started in 85, but they didn't induct their first member until 86.
Yeah. Ah, so James Brown was in the first class. Bob Dylan was in the third class. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's just...
Well, we were way wrong.
Yeah. Me more than you.
Not really.
Mm.
My fourth person was the first person. That doesn't get more wrong than that.
However, I believe you didn't lose any points.
You're correct. I finished the game with 110 points.
Yep, and I finished the game with 71 points.
71 points, so 110 to 71. You know what that means?
Say it.
It's another win for Jonathan.
I really hate that statement.
Feels good. I'm sorry, my man. You said it the other day. I am on a roll.
You really are, man.
I'm like butter. Yeah. I'm on a roll.
I can't remember the last time you lost a game.
Come to think of it.
Neither can you.
Can't either.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sound of Chris crumpling his paper in disgust. So let's talk, ow, and hitting me with the paper in the eye, my liver.
No, I hit you in the eye in Ireland, which is on your shirt.
Huh, you did, didn't you? Okay, so we have a Warhead of the Week.
Excellent.
Now, technically, I don't even know if she's officially a Warhead. I'm certain she is. I didn't check. But we got a lovely note in our trivialwarfare@gmail.com mailbox this week.
Oh, is this the one that you emailed over to me that
yes.
you're so excited about?
I
oh, this was lovely. This was great.
This is from Megan Brandstetter in Cincinnati. Megan wanted us to know that she loves the show, she listens to a lot of trivia podcasts, and this one is definitely one of her favorites. Megan, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling friends about it.
And Megan, I literally, Jonathan emailed this over to me, and I literally woke my wife up to read her that review because I was so excited to read that. I was like, honey, you got to listen to this. It was great.
And then Christopher finished out the night on the couch.
No. She just went on and then rolled back to sleep. She probably didn't hear one word that I said.
She's like, that's nice.
But I will say this. Cincinnati loves some Trivial Warfare, man.
We do. Ohio is a hotbed for Trivial Warfare.
Very good to us.
Yeah, we like our Ohio
people.
All
right, we may need to do a visit to Ohio.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Possibly.
And money.
You'll have to spend all that for... You'll have to fund that, Chris.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. So if you want to become a Warhead... You can go over to TrivialWarfare.com, and right there on the front page, there is a Become a Warhead button. Just click that, fill out the form, and it'll shoot right over to me. We appreciate the people who write iTunes reviews for us.
We need them.
Unfortunately, we haven't had any new ones since the last time we recorded.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Appreciate that. We're currently sitting at 18, which is better than 10. We were sitting at 10 for a long time. So... If you want to shoot a review out there on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. And I think that's about it for the normal after-show business stuff. So, Chris, do you have anything? Oh, stay tuned next week. We will have a special Halloween episode. It was spooky.
It was a little spooky. There were some creepy questions in that episode.
Yep. So be sure to listen for that. And, Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
So, Daniel, thank you very much for hosting today. Great job. All right, great. Well, we'll do it again real soon then. And, Jonathan, okay, another one for Jonathan.
Yeah, baby.
Are you happy?
You remember that.
No, I'd rather forget it as quickly as humanly possible.
I haven't lost since, like, July.
It's been a long time. So, until next time, that's Jonathan, that's Daniel, I'm Chris, and this is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
What is the longest a chicken has lived without its head?
We can't answer that.
No?
No.
You don't even want to take a guess? Come on, this was...
That's great. A numbers question.
18 months.
18 months?
That's too specific.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I thought about that. I was going to say whoever got closest.
Now that we could have tried.
Yeah.
All right. But I came prepared with backup questions.
Good.
All right.
But 18 months? Good Lord.
Yeah. What happened was when they severed its head, the brain stem was left intact because a chicken's brain is kind of situated funny in its skull.
So they cut it off high on the head?
They cut it off high on the head, and when they...
But they thought it was funny, so they kept them alive?
Well, no. Well, this was in 1945, I think, in Colorado. So, you know, people were hard up for entertainment anyway. And, you know, it's... usual for a chicken, and I've seen this myself, when you cut a chicken's head off, it gets up and it runs around for a little while.
Yeah.
So, you know, the chickens were up running around for a little while, and they started falling. They, you know, just slaughtering chickens for Sunday dinner or whatever. And they noticed one of them just kept going and kept going. So they put it in a crate by the front door, and when they came out the next morning, it was still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, being Americans, they thought, hey, we can make some money on this. So they would clean out its esophagus, or its, you know, they cleaned out the wound, and they would take out an eyedropper and drop liquid food straight down into its esophagus.
Oh, my God.
And they took him on the road, and it lived for 18 months.
I really wish we could figure out a way of getting this into the show, because this is a great story. But
wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, his name was Miracle Mike.
Miracle Mike. Maybe I can do it as the outtake at the end.
That'd be great. That would be really great.
That was my fault. I completely flubbed that question.
Not Magic Mike.
No. Although that may be where he took his name from.
Mm. Yeah. Well, brainless.
Running around.
Yeah.
No top on.
Pants cut off.
Pants off, dance off.
That's right.